Because, you know, prophetically speaking, Deuteronomy chapter number 30 is this being fulfilled. Deuteronomy 30 says there's going to come a day when you do enter the promised land, and because of your rebellion toward me, I'm going to disperse you. You're going to be dispersed all over the world. I'm going to take you out like the Babylonians did. But I'm going to bring you back. And God says these words. He says, in that day, I'm going to circumcise your heart so that you can love me and that you can live. Nehemiah had a circumcised heart. And that wasn't anything that he did. That was something that God did. And that's why the man had the burden for the people. That's why he was heavy-hearted over what was going on. God was putting it in his heart. And Nehemiah even brings that up. Look in the first chapter. He actually quotes Deuteronomy 30. And y'all know we talk about Leviticus 26 often. How God says, when you're not walking with me, these are some of the things I'm going to do, so you can recognize that you've taken your eyes off of me and you're doing things in your own strength. Well, he brings this up. Look in verse number 5 of chapter 1. Nehemiah says, and I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep covenant and mercy with those who love you and obey your commandments. That's straight out of the book of Deuteronomy. That's straight out of coming from Leviticus, when God says he shows mercy to 1,000 generations, but he visits the iniquity of the fathers on the third and fourth generation. He's pulling this out. This ain't something that he's just drawing out of the clear air. He's returning back to God what God's already said he was going to do. And he goes on, and then he says in when he confesses about their life, verse 7, he says, we've acted very corruptly against you and have not kept your commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. He said, here we are. I'm in Persia. I'm in Shushan right now. And we are scattered abroad and have no continuity. And he goes on to say, but if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some who were cast out to the farthest parts of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them back to the place which I have chosen as my as a place for dwelling my name. That's straight out of Deuteronomy 30. And God says when he does this, he's going to circumcise their heart that they do love him and have life. Because it's impossible to love God the way God requires him to be loved. I mean, to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, that's the law. That's the law summed up in one word, love. Love God, love man, love your neighbor. Jesus referred to it. What does the law say? What's your understanding of the law? When that scribe came, that lawyer came to him, said, what's your understanding of it? Well, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. But you know, none of us can keep the law. None of us can keep that law to love God the way he's required. It's still a demand of God. Only Jesus can fulfill that demand for us. He did love God with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his strength, without flaw. He did it also by the grace of God. That's why the scripture says by the grace of God, he tasted death for every one of us. But we can't. And it's impossible to even direct our love, even half-heartedly to the Lord, without God doing something in our heart. Come on. Look at Deuteronomy 30 and verse number 6. You'll see what I'm talking about. That's a perfect picture there. That's what he says. Those that love God and are the called according to his purpose. Yes, that's right. But Deuteronomy 30 in verse number 6 says exactly what Nehemiah has drawn out himself. He says, and the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul that you may live. You see, this is something that God's got to do to change who we are, to love him. You'll see in verse number 1 of Deuteronomy 3, "Now it shall come to pass when all these things come upon you, and the blessings and the curse which I set before you, and you call to mind among the nations where the Lord has what? Driven you." So he's talking about a future day that's going to happen. "And you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice according to all that I command you today, you and your children with all your heart and with all your soul." He's then going to tell us that you are incapable of doing that apart from me of doing something in you. And that's where that circumcision of heart has to come to play. Because what does circumcision do? The circumcision removes something that was a barrier. Throughout the Old Testament, even in the New, the Bible refers to those that don't have a relationship with God have what he called uncircumcised ears. What is an uncircumcised ear? There's something, the idea of foreskin on the ear hinders me from hearing. That has to be taken away for me to hear. He talks about the uncircumcised lips. See, if you can't hear from God, you can't speak for God. So God's got to remove the foreskin, the uncircumcised part of the lips. And he also refers to the uncircumcised heart, because there's a veil that it's the foreskin on the ear, the mouth, the heart was impaired. Hearing, speaking, believing, loyalty, love. So God has to remove that from the heart, from the ear, and from the mouth, so that we can love him, be loyal to him, hear him, and speak for him. It's simply saying this has got to be a work of God's grace in our life for that to happen. And he also referred to about the trees. He called the trees, they were uncircumcised trees, not being able to bring forth fruit. Why? Every time he uses the word uncircumcised, it's the idea something is impairing something. And that's why for us to be fruitful in the kingdom, we've got to have an uncircumcised, our hearts got to be circumcised by God. Our ears, our lips, everything about us, he's got to remove that out of the way so that we can love him and that we can have life. And Deuteronomy is telling us something that's going to happen to him in the future. Nehemiah is the prophetic promises being fulfilled of what God said he was going to do. He was going to change his people's hearts by cutting away at the foreskin of their hearts so that Nehemiah could respond the way that he responded when he heard the news, what was going on, that he would be burdened. And then you see that calling being manifested on his life to lead these people. And it's no different with us today. The New Testament talks about that in Christ Jesus, that it's not the circumcision made with hands, by man, it's what we are. We've been circumcised in Christ. We've been made new creatures in him. We've been regenerated by him and made alive in him so that we put off the old man that gets in the way and put on the new. And so as I've been reading this, going through Nehemiah, we could look at him as a man who was doing great things, and he did. But we always go back to a great God who did a great thing in him so that he could be the man that he was to lead his people in this great task that he had been given to protect them. You know, and no matter how you look at it, in the kingdom, we're all wall builders. What does a wall do? A wall is designed to guard and to protect. It limits the enemy's access points, that they've got to come through a gate, a narrow place where you've chosen. And the scripture teaches what? In Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart. For out of the heart proceeds all the issues of life. Out of the heart we filter everything in life. And you see, without guarding our heart, we're attacked from every angle and every wherever the enemy chooses to attack us. And very similar, what people are, is the people that we work with from day to day and are trying to help are very similar like how Jerusalem was. There's so much rubbish in the mind. There's so many rocks on the ground, so many false ideas and lies and a vain imagination that people don't know what to do and how to do it. even though the potential was there, it took somebody else to come in and say, this is what we need to do. And the scripture says that all of them put their hand to this good work, and they stood side by side with one another and began to help build a place to guard what was theirs. And that's what we're trying to do when we teach in the Word. We're trying to build in the mind to guard our hearts so that the enemy can't just attack us or attack our people from any angle they choose. They come in, he attacks us, and we could recognize it and understand it and have to deal with it. And you see even in Nehemiah, the only people that were disgruntled and disturbed about this wall being built was the enemy.
Right.
There's nothing, well, what's wrong with a wall being built? That helps guard us. It's not that we want to keep influences in, and you can't keep influences out. But if you're my friend, you're willing to enter in my access point the way I've asked you to. But if you're not my friend, you want to be able to come in any way you can, any way you choose. Yeah, yeah. So we, you know, Nehemiah is so full of where we are, not necessarily just throwing it out there with what we're dealing with as a nation as a whole, though it's a great picture of it, but more in our everyday practical life in our homes and with our families and with our church members that, hey, we want to build walls of truth and grace that can pull down vain imaginations and helping people not deal with battles carnally, naturally, but dealing with the power and the might of God through his wisdom and his ways so that we can guard our heart and filter everything through the revelation that he's given us, you know.
Also, I like the idea that Nehemiah was, he gave individuals a segment.
Mm-hmm.
Families took care of that segment of the wall.
Yeah.
And a gate that was there, if there was a gate.
Right.
And to, because we, that's like he delegated authority.
Yeah, yeah. You can't do it all yourself.
If he'd have tried to build the wall by himself in some sort of fashion and he controlled everything 100%, that wall would have,
Wouldn't happen,
especially that speed.
Not in his time frame. Very short. And that'd be like you attempting to do by yourself what God's equipped you to do. He's equipped you to do what he's called you to do, but you can't do what you do by yourself. Neither any one of us. We got to be side by side, everybody working together in what God's given us to help guard what he's assigned us to do, you know, and that's what we see here.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, look, we're going to have to go on out front. They're going to be looking for us. They don't know they're going to get a treat of a harmonica today. Yeah. Not yet, anyway. They don't know. It's coming. Amen.
Amen. Amen.